Hello, everybody, and
Love
welcome.
Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Leadership Focus, an internet radio show geared to everyday leadership, both at work and throughout your life. Each week, we present you with new ideas, interesting guests, actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. I'm your host, Lisa Posbjerg, executive coach and CEO of Focus Coaching, a leadership coaching and training firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And tonight, our topic is the people factor. What you don't know could be hurting you. And our guest tonight is Van Moody. Van is an author and motivational speaker whose specialty is relationships. A self-described people scholar, Van has spent a lifetime observing what works and what doesn't in relationships. He's put his knowledge into practice through his own actions and his ability to spread the word through speaking and writing about mastering the art of healthy relationships. We are pleased to have him here with us tonight to share some highlights of his knowledge about the people factor and how you can put this stuff into action in your own personal life and career. Welcome, Van.
Thank you, Lisa. It's an honor to be with you.
It's great to have you here, too. Thanks for being here. First, tell us, Van, how'd you get into this? Was there an event, a role model, a turning point? Something that turned your attention to becoming a people scholar?
You know, one of the things that I just realized is, you know, with all of the things that I've had a great opportunity to do, whether it's locally or nationally or even internationally, I've had some great opportunities in life to live different places and to work at so many different levels of leadership. And one of the things that I realized was the common denominator is a person's ability to handle relationships, whether that be successfully or, unfortunately, them not knowing how to handle them and they negatively impacting their life. And so what I began to realize were what I call laws or principles that really run through the length and breadth of every kind of relationship. Normally what people often do is, particularly when we start talking about the subject of relationships, a lot of times what people do is they kind of compartmentalize or relegate the understanding of the importance of relational health to simply personal relationships. But what I began to realize that really shaped the path for my life is that this notion of relational health is not just for personal relationships. There are gobs of books that have been written on marriage relationships and all that kind of stuff. But The truth is that success, even in the workplace and in other areas of your life, really depends on your ability to relate effectively to people. And that was really the biggest eye-opener for me that shaped my life and really set me off down this path that has led to not only the people factor, but really my life being based around helping people to have better relationships, personally, professionally, in all areas of their life.
Well said, yeah. It does affect every area. I'm thinking about the phrase, you've probably heard this, we're all in sales. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in the nicest way. I mean, we're all, either we're selling our idea or we're selling the wish to be together with this person or to join our organization or something. But it's all about persuasion and relationship created with people to do that. I remember telling my daughter years ago when she was much younger, she was talking about a teacher that she didn't particularly like at school. And I said to her, you know, it's really important that your teachers like you. And if you communicate to them that you don't like them, they have a lot of discretion. And she was really surprised. And she says, well, no, they'll grade me just the same. And I said, you don't understand. When people are grading papers, subconsciously even, they're affected by their perspective of who this person is. They have an opportunity to cut you some slack or not, to assume you meant this or not. Mm-hmm. There's just all kinds of ways. People read emails differently because of the relationship that they have with the person. So it's everywhere. Yeah, yeah. So as you know, our show is called The Leadership Focus for a reason. it's geared to leaders and aspiring or prospective leaders, or those you know, high potential people that we talk about as well, or I'm sure are listening tonight. How does the people factor particularly relate to leaders and aspiring leaders? Can you give some examples, and why is it especially important to this group?
Well, it's critically important to your group and to those that are listening, not only tonight, but to the people that really are trying to be effective in the workplace, largely because recent research, Lisa, has shown that somewhere between 60 to 80% of all difficulties in organizations in some way or another stem from strained relationships, whether it's between employees or at a high level, managers, leaders, CEOs, the CFOs, the COOs. But research reveals that 60, and that's huge, 60 to 80% of all difficulties within an organization stem from strained relationships, not from deficits in an individual's skill, motivation, talent, or even acumen. And so that statistic alone is something that I think every leader that is intent on being not only effective, but leading a healthy organization at a high level, they have to take note of. Because often in the workplace, we focus on talent, we focus on the bottom line, we focus on, to borrow a phrase from Jim Collins' book, Get Good to Great, we make sure that we have the right people on the bus and the right people in the right seats. You know, but the truth of the matter is that beyond that, if those individuals cannot effectively relate to one another, you can have the most talented people around you or even on your team. But if they suffer from strained relationships, then the organization as a whole is going to suffer and the bottom line won't be reached, or the bottom line will be much less than what it could be if people understood the importance of relational health. And so, you know, even at a personal level, Lisa, I think a lot of times when people think about strained relationships or toxic relationships, is the term that I use throughout the book, particularly in the workplace, I think that a lot of people have the misunderstanding that difficult relationships in the workplace is just something that we have to grin and bear. You know, particularly during kind of our commute to work, we go through that mental inventory of all of the coworkers that maybe are difficult to get along with or that we don't look forward to seeing. And we just kind of do a pep talk to ourselves and say, okay, you know, my work day will be over at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock or whatever, so I only have to deal with them for a certain amount of time. But I think that we, in doing that, really don't understand the weight that difficult relationships can have on individuals in the workplace. You know, difficult relationships, particularly in the workplace, are far more than simply a nuisance. Studies historically and contemporarily have shown that they can cause anxiety, burnout, clinical depression, and even just full-blown physical illness. And so understanding the importance of not only leading an organization where healthy relationships are a priority, but then also being a part of an organization, being intentional about learning the rules and the laws so that you can have those kinds of healthy relationships are extremely important, because the right relationships or healthy relationships can take you individually and your organization to the heights of tremendous achievement, while at the same time dysfunctional or what I call toxic relationships personally and professionally will keep you tethered to mediocrity sometimes for the rest of your life. And so when we mismanage relationships, the fallout affects a number of different things. It affects productivity. It affects, in many ways, people's ability to advance. It affects the organization's bottom line. You know, something else, Lisa, that I've just been reflecting on, and I talk about it a little bit in the book, but I see this now more and more every single day. I see it across the board. I don't just see it in a particular genre of leaders. I see it with celebrities. I see it with politicians. I see it with business leaders. I see it with a number of different individuals. And what's amazing is there have just been a long list of all of those types of individuals, celebrities, politicians, business leaders, who were phenomenally talented and gifted, studied at some of the greatest schools, that the world has produced, but many of them lost everything, or they to date bear permanent scars on their record, or even on their public persona, because they made bad choices in relationships.
Yeah.
You cannot look at golf now without the question mark around, is Tiger Woods back to his former self? And the line of demarcation between, you know, the Tiger Woods we knew and the one that we're getting to know now all revolves around a bad relationship decision, whether it's, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Lisa Novak, who was a former astronaut and a Navy captain, and that story was just heartbreaking because here's a woman of just tremendous talent and gift, but she's now in prison for attacking a romantic rival. But the list goes on and on and on and on and on of examples of individuals who at one point touched the pinnacles of success in their respective fields. They're all educated, they're trained, they're practiced, they're skilled. I mean, they diligently prepared for greatness. But they stumbled, some failed, some went through unnecessary trouble for one reason. It's all because of relationships. So I think leaders have to take notice of that. I think individuals that are just working at any level in the workplace have to take notice of that, because relationships can make or break a number of things in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's so sad about those examples and, you know, many others that are springing to mind is we want and need those people to be role models, to be positive role models. And I'm always talking with senior leaders about what we call in my work, the executive coaching work, the amplified voice of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
It, everything they do and say or not do. You know, if they're walking down the hall and they're lost in thought and a colleague, someone who's under them in the organization, walks by and smiles at them or says hi and they don't respond,
mm-hmm.
they take that to mean, I'm in trouble, he doesn't like me, he's
mm-hmm.
dismissive, whatever. And it could be he's lost in thought. But
right.
they're really quick to think that a grimace, for instance, doesn't mean that he has a gas pain from lunch, but means, you know, he thought what I just said was the stupidest thing in the world. And, you know, their role is so amplified and so important that if they're not good role models, it's, you know, how can they be great leaders? And in the case of people, you know, like Tiger, like some of the other people you talk about, we really need great role models in those areas for our
Absolutely.
Children and ourselves. Yeah, yeah. You talk about in your material and in some of the statements that you've made that there are no neutral relationships. It's a
right.
very provocative statement. Can you tell us a little more about what you mean by that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad that you raised that question, because I think it's important that your listeners and anybody who picks up the people factor, that they understand that this is a book not just for leaders. The book lives in several different worlds. It's really a book that can help anybody at any station in their life. And so the principles and the laws that I deal with in the people factor, they will definitely add value to people in the workplace, to leaders, business owners, and others. But it's not just for them. It's really for anybody at any level or stage in life and in their respective just journey of purpose and really trying to just grow and do the things that they feel that they've been really chosen and called and selected, or just feel that they've been enabled to do. But with that said, you know, the people factor really revolves around what I call the most important principle as it relates to understanding the importance of relationships. And you just said it, there are no neutral relationships. And what that means is, you know, there's a notion of a casual relationship that many people have adopted. I think that terminology has been bandied around for years. Oh, it's just a casual relationship, and we think that that means that the relationship really has no bearing or no significant weight in our lives, and that's not true. What I found through working with leaders at every level, and just really studying people and working with people at large levels and at small levels, even down to just one-on-one mentoring and coaching, I've learned that there is no such thing as a neutral relationship. Every relationship you have affects you in some way, shape, or form, and we have some kind of relationship with every individual. And that means that each relationship that you're engaged in does a couple things. It either lifts you up or it weighs you down. That relationship, no matter how small or insignificant you think it is, it influences you in some way or another. So every relationship you have, they either move you forward, they either hold you back, they either help you or they hurt you. Which means then that when you really know how to handle those relationships appropriately, those are the skills that will really make the difference between, in my opinion, a fulfilling life or a life that's riddled with disappointment, failure, and regret. And this is really important, and I'm very passionate about this, Lisa, because what I consider a little discussed truth is simply that relationships are an art. We don't talk about this. I've studied at some great universities, Harvard and Oxford, and I've been to some major universities and got a number of degrees, but that's something I never learned. I learned a lot about a whole bunch of things, but I never learned that relationships in and of themselves, they are an art, which means that, like me, most people lack the skill and mastery to handle relationships successfully or to just break or destroy altogether the byproducts of toxic relationships and bad interactions with people. You know, you asked me something earlier about how did this whole journey of me becoming a people scholar start.
Right.
I shared with you some of the things in my leading people and dealing with leaders and organizations at several different levels, the kind of ahas and realizations that I had. But, you know, something else that really shaped my experience that has fueled this book, I wrote the book in The People Factor that I wish someone would have given me about 25 to 30 years ago. Because after all of the study and after all of the preparation, after, you know, spending so much time trying to make the right investments and reading the right material and getting all the right degrees, I came out with a whole bunch of knowledge, but what I realized that I needed more than anything else was some understanding about how I relate to people. How do I take all of this stuff that I've learned and how do I translate that into healthy relationships that will not just further my career but help me to have a fulfilling and a happy life? And I couldn't find it. I couldn't find it in one book. There were tons of books written about leadership at a high level, laws of leadership and, you know, how to be a better CEO. But what I found was missing is the thread that runs through all of those leadership books, all of those books on how to build business, whether it's Rich Dad, Poor Dad, or Donald Trump's Theory to Success. You know, the line that runs through all of them that was missing for me is how do I handle relationships within all of the turns of life as we climb the corporate ladder, as we grow our business, as we even just try to start a family, because relationships are an art and they take a skill and a level of mastery in order to do them effectively that nobody taught me. And that as I began to climb the ladder, as I began to start a family, as my career grew, and even as my influence widened, man, I had a lot of challenges as it relates to just understanding relationships. What does a healthy relationship look like? How do I keep a relationship healthy? Here's a big question. The relationships that I had when my life was at one level, do I still need to maintain those relationships now? And so it's those kinds of really weighty, important questions that I felt like really begged an answer. And no one was speaking to him. And so through the painful experiences that I had personally, through the lessons that I've learned over years of working with people and just being a people scholar and working with leaders and organizations at every level, I really kind of distilled all of that into what I call the people factor, because I just maintain that far too many people lack the ability to have productive connections with others. And it's those kinds of connections that will help you to not only live a better life, but they will help you to achieve your goals, sharpen your mind, and just overall uplift and enrich your life.
So what is a healthy relationship? You've talked a bit already about, you know, laws and principles. Can you do a short version of how you perceive that?
Well, there are several different ways to evaluate a healthy relationship. I talk a lot about it in the book because healthy is a moving term. And what I mean by that is, you know, what is healthy for me at a particular level in my life may no longer be healthy at another stage in my life. One of the big things that I deal with in my book is what I call the law of constructive transition. And that law revolves around the fact that certain relationships that were great at one point in your life, if you're not careful, can be one of the greatest dangers to future health. Because as you grow, as your sphere of influence changes, and even as just your knowledge base increases, you know, we go through life, we experience different things, we change as people. If we're not careful, that relationship that maybe 5 years ago was extremely healthy and beneficial, if we're not careful, will no longer serve us the way it used to. And we'll no longer sense to, you know, we'll no longer get what we got from the relationship. It will no longer add the kind of value it adds to, and so forth and so on. So that notion of what's healthy is one that has to be reexamined. But at a base level, a healthy relationship is a relationship that revolves around several factors. Number one, the core character of who you are. One of the most important lessons and principles that I talk about in the people factor is the law of being real. It's really hard for me to kind of winnow all of the principles down into kind of one, but if I had to choose what was the most important, I think I would start with the law of being real, because I think, first of all, in order to have any kind of healthy relationship, you have to fully know yourself, and then you have to be intentional about allowing yourself to be known. Because the common denominator in every relationship that we have is us. And a lot of times we don't effectively know who we are. The way that I often explain this is that ask any ophthalmologist and they will tell you that we all have blind spots. Because sometimes we look at ourselves and we see ourselves, we see our life, we see who we think we are through a jaded perspective. And so part of really getting to the core of who you are is asking some very difficult questions, but then inviting some people that you consider trusted individuals that know that you know have their, you know, your best interests at heart, and you bring them into that process so you can really fully see yourself for authentically who you are, because you need that knowledge base to be able to evaluate, you know, whether any other potential relationship is one that you've got to accept or embrace or reject, because it's got to be based upon some core values of who you are, what you need at this stage in your life, and then your ability to add value in that relationship revolves around what you're willing to give, because every healthy relationship involves give and take. I talk about that in the book. Really bad relationships are relationships that involve two takers. Because that leads to not only a parasitic relationship, but it leads to burnout. It leads to people just being worn out because the relationship always depletes them and never adds to them. In other words, if you're going to make a lot of withdrawals, there's constantly got to be deposits going in. And so a good relationship or a healthy relationship at its base level revolves around those factors that help you understand your character, your core values, who you are, you know, what are you about, what are you looking for, what are the things that would help you at this stage in your life. But then you got to enter a relationship with a giver. You yourself have got to first make it up in your mind to be a giver. But then you got to make sure that you're also in a relationship with a giver as well. So at a base level, that's the start. I would call those the building blocks to any kind of healthy relationship.
Sure. What are some of the top things that people do wrong in relationships?
Wow. There are a number of things that people do wrong. I don't probably have the time to go through all of them, but, you know, it's an amazing thing in just kind of our makeup of being human beings. A lot of times, sometimes the best way we learn is by learning what not to do, or by stepping back and saying, you know what, I did that, and that was wrong, and I should never do that again. And so I put together really what I consider to be the top 10 don'ts, or, you know, things that are issues to avoid in a relationship. And I'll run through them. I probably won't have time to unpack all of them, but let me just list them out really quickly. One is not to hide. Don't hide. Secret identities are great in the movies, but not in relationships. Second is to not tweak the truth. So often people pride themselves on telling white lies or trying to make themselves look a little bit better than they really are. Number three is to not rush or miss critical red flags. Great, healthy relationships take time. Number four is don't force it. When you sense that a relationship is not working, don't try to make it work. Number five is to not repeat the past. Number six is to not be a taker, which I talked about before. Right. Number seven is to not stay in an unhealthy relationship, which is a biggie. Number eight is to not lose your personal power. Number nine is to not forget who and what really matters, which is tremendous. And then number 10 is to not accept everybody. You can't be in relationships with everyone.
So I'm particularly interested in that one. What do you do when there are people in your life that are relatives or are coworkers,
yeah,
or are tenured faculty that work with you or for you? And, you know, you wouldn't necessarily have chosen them. How do you handle that?
Well, one of the most important things that you have to be able to do is to set boundaries. You've got to be able to have healthy relationships with unhealthy people. And the start of that is to, number one, be able to identify what I consider the telltale signs of a toxic relationship. There is that old saying that you can't choose your family, but you can choose your friends. But oftentimes in life, particularly in the workplace, and even on a personal level, we find ourselves in situations that we didn't desire and we didn't choose to be in. And so you, number one, have got to raise what I call your relational IQ so that you can be able to identify that this is an unhealthy person, this is potentially a toxic relationship, and then you got to not only be able to identify it, but you got to be able to do something about it. And the most important thing is to be able to set boundaries. That's a part of what I mean when I say don't lose your personal power. You have to be able to learn how to be effective with them without being affected by them. We can be with difficult family, and we can love them and have Thanksgiving dinner and have a good holiday, but we don't have to bring their baggage on. We don't have to allow their stuff to impact how we raise our children, so forth and so on. And boundaries are critical to that understanding.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're just about out of time. This has gone really fast. I think what we need to do is tie this up and make sure listeners can get some more, because I feel like we just got a taste of what you have to say. How can listeners get some more information, get a hold of your book when it comes out? I know it's coming out soon. Can you give us some URLs and some?
Sure. This has gone amazingly fast, and I've enjoyed it. I'm interested in engaging with people at every level who are interested in this, and I know that the book and all of the material will add value to their lives. People can always contact me at vanmoody.com, VanMoody.com. There's plenty of information out there. We've got some great things that we are doing now for people that pre-order the book, and even some things that I think may be of interest to all of your listeners who are part of this show tonight. So that's the best way for people to reach out to me and get a copy of the book, vanmoody.com.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Van.
Thank
you. Good to have you.
Likewise.
And thank you for joining us tonight on the Leadership Focus, the show which gives you new ideas, interesting guests, and actionable strategies to help you be an incredible leader with a more balanced life. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you have, please go to blogtalkradio.com and click on Send Reminder. Send yourself an alert by phone or email for future shows. To check out our blog and for more tips and strategies you can use, go to focuscoaching.net on the web. Until next time, this is your host, Lisa Pasbjork, urging you to be a better leader every day.